My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Ever feel like you're stuck in a rut? Does it seem like advice from friends and family, while well-intentioned, is not providing the guidance you need to make the changes you desire? What if there was a way of tapping your own inner wisdom and finding the answers you need to bring success to your career, your relationships, and most importantly, your happiness? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Judy Vitale, says everything you need to do to find those answers is right inside of you. Judy is an empowerment consultant as a certified transpersonal coach, advanced hypnotherapist, yoga teacher, and spiritual counselor. She has decades of experience working with people who seek a deeper meaning in their lives. Judy's tips for living in harmony with one's passions and purpose are as illuminating and accessible as they are life-affirming. Judy spent most of her life in New York City, where she resided until 2010. Now living in Pittsburgh, she works there and travels around the country offering her services and workshops. She and Yasa Johnson are the hosts of the Deep Dives podcast on the Pittsburgh Podcast Network. They'll be offering retreats and seminars covering topics such as mastering life transitions, the gifts of mentorship, and integrating male and female energy beginning this fall. Judy offers motivational and wellness lectures to various organizations, corporations, and the general public. She's the author of 3 books, and her latest, Live in Spirit, Love Your Life, connects the reader with the highest wisdom available, the ultra self. Please join me in welcoming Judy Vitale. Good evening, Judy.
Good evening, Victor.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
And thank you for having me.
Now, let's start by sharing a little of your personal path with our listeners. How did your path unfold?
Well, you know, I started off as an astrologer. I came to New York City as a young person working in the information technology arena. And I did astrology as a hobby. It was sort of the thing I started to do when I got tired of going, you know, out to happy hour after work. I started to go to astrology classes, and I caught the bug really badly. I had started as a young child, even like being extra interested in horoscopes. But by the time I was in my 20s, I was studying astrology very seriously. And I did that. I had a career in magazine writing for many years. I wrote for a lot of major magazines. And has been seeing clients for more than 35 years now. And as a spiritual person, I just began to open up all kinds of different ways of looking at the way that we're connected to our divine nature. And I started to explore some other things. So now I have transpersonal coaching. I'm studying for a master's degree in transpersonal psychology, as a matter of fact. And then I also do clinical hypnotherapy. And, of course, I still do my astrology for people. And astrology, I also use it as a very good diagnostic tool for my coaching clients. And I enjoy sharing all of these different skills. I'm also a yoga teacher. And I teach meditation. And just, I really like to reach out into the general public, Victor, just like I did as a magazine writer. And just let people know that there is a connection between them and their divine nature. And that they can access it anytime that they wish.
Now, let's share with our listeners a little bit about the modalities that you use when working with clients. First of all, what is transpersonal life coaching, and what would a session be like?
Well, transpersonal means that we're addressing the spiritual life as much as the psychological or, you know, just the behavioral. We're looking at how happy are you spiritually? Are you doing what you love? Do you find that what you're doing is taking you away from what you love? how can you connect better with your actual purpose in life in ways that allow you to actualize what you want? A typical session with me would involve, first, everybody has to relax. So we might do some breathing exercises to get them into a state of mind. We may use a light trance state, might even go to a little bit of hypnosis if we need to get at a certain issue to see what's bothering a person. And then behaviorally, we're going to do alignment with people, trying to align what they're doing with what they're passionate about and what, you know, they really feel as though they're being purposeful in life with. And so the difference between transpersonal approaches to things such as coaching and psychology is that we're addressing the soul as well as the mind. And it makes a huge difference. It really touches people and allows them to be fully happy. And sometimes it means that they have to go back into the past and take an old conclusion that they made about themselves and change it so that they're no longer thinking that they're powerless and remembering that they have all the power that they give to themselves, that they're the person in charge, that their higher self and their connection to the divine is what should be directing their activities, not what other people believed about them 30, 40, 50 years ago.
So all of the wonderful skills that you have, including yoga and leading meditation, these all contribute to that session that you have, the use the pranayama or the breathing techniques, relaxation
yes.
techniques, and even yes. a little bit of the hypnotherapy comes into play, I would see.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's a part of the coaching, you know, because in coaching, what we're trying to do, I'm not telling people what to do. I'm trying to ask them and provoke answers to questions out of them that tell them what they want to do. Because so many times they're looking for that solution outside of themselves. And the key to it, that's why I call myself an empowerment consultant. It's because I want people to feel powerful enough to make those changes within themselves.
Absolutely. Now, there are many misconceptions about hypnotherapy. Please explain the true nature of hypnosis and what a clinical hypnotist does.
Well, there are different ways of approaching hypnosis in general. There are the traditional way that you hear about, you know, with like stage magicians and things of that nature, suggestions, you know, cluck like a chicken and that kind of thing. Then you move into, you know, you will no longer love smoking cigarettes. They will taste like burning sponges in your mouth. That's hypnosis by suggestion. But in heart-centered hypnotherapy, which is what I use and what I was trained in by the Wellness Institute in Issaquah, Washington, heart-centered hypnotherapy is a lot different. We do actual regressions in age, and we bring people back to situations in their lives. Say that somebody does have an eating problem. They're soothing themselves with eating while they're not hungry. So they then would go back to the last time they felt that way and then identify where it might be in their body. What are the somatic issues that surround that? Can we go back in time? When's the last time that you felt that as a child? Oh, well, you know, my mother was ignoring me, and then every time I would speak to her, she would yell at me, and so I would comfort myself with food. Okay, so let's go back to that moment in time and tell your mother, not actually, but, you know, in the session that we're having, tell your mother how you feel about that. Release those emotions, because we hold our emotions in our bodies and certainly in our subconscious minds. So what we're really, our goal in hypnotherapy is to gain access to the messages that are in the subconscious mind and redirect them and to reprocess them so that they're coming out in a different way. So it isn't your fault if those things happen to you as a child. And it isn't, you know, the most reasonable thing for you to soothe yourself with food. You can soothe yourself with saying, I'm a good person and I'm worth paying attention to. And just, you know, really asserting that and letting go of the past. It's about freeing yourself of all kinds of things, including just the idea of being a victim.
You mentioned that. Physical memory, which I think is really important to discuss for a moment. What about people who have PTSD? Is that effective for people with PTSD?
Yes. It's a marvel for people with PTSD because they get the opportunity to go back to the moments when they were traumatized and to reprocess those moments and to put them in the past. Because what happens is the brain goes in, when we're traumatized, it goes into fight or flight or freeze. And what happens when we're really traumatized is that we freeze and we never let time pass past that moment. So the body is reacting as though it is going on at that moment in time. So we have to train the individual to look back and understand that this moment is now in the past. It's not affecting them in this point, at this point in time. So then they can let it go and begin to be desensitized to the idea of being hypervigilant or overreactive to certain stimulus. So, you know, it really is very, very helpful. It's a way of treating the trauma underneath the symptoms rather than just, you know, medicating or even just treating the symptoms, you know, by talk therapy. Talk therapy only speaks to the rational part of the brain. It does not go into the unconscious or the subconscious the way that hypnotherapy does.
Judy, what about people who have addictions? Is hypnotherapy effective for that?
Yes, it is, because it isn't just the act of the addiction that causes the person the problem. There's an underlying cause. In every addict, there most likely is something that is causing them to medicate themselves, just like the overeater. They'll do it with drugs or alcohol, or even, you know, some people do cutting. There are just a lot of ways that we go in and we almost punish ourselves or medicate ourselves. It's just a reaction to trauma. So going in and understanding what causes us to feel this way about ourselves is extremely useful for addiction. And that's actually how I first became acquainted with hypnotherapy, was through treatment for addiction. And I just think it's incredible. It's an incredible tool.
My guest this evening is Judy Vitale. She's the author of Live in Spirit, Love Your Life. And we'll be back with more of Judy after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening is Judy Vitale. She's the author of Live in Spirit, Love Your Life. So, Judy, before the break, we were talking about the various modalities that you use. We talked about transpersonal life coaching, and we were talking a little bit about hypnotherapy. Are there things that hypnotherapy is not effective for?
I would say that it would depend on the individual. I think that in most cases, if there is an ailment and something like schizophrenia, for example, I think that I would avoid using the hypnotherapy until the person was able to be stabilized through other means. That would be one issue. But believe it or not, for certain afflictions that do sound unmanageable in the psychological realm, such as what they call dissociative identity disorder, which used to be multiple personalities. They now call it DID. And that's when a person dissociates because they've been traumatized, okay? So they create all these other personalities in order to allow them to be someone, anyone, but the person who was undergoing the abuse or the shocking circumstance or whatever it was that caused the trauma. So, you know, that one I would say would be a positive. It's something where someone does not have a grip on reality. I don't think that hypnosis would be extremely helpful for them.
Can anyone be hypnotized?
The thing is, I believe yes. And there are people who say they cannot be hypnotized. And that isn't because of the strengths or the abilities of the hypnotist, in my case, or hypnotherapist. It's whether or not you want to do it. So if you're really open and you really have a deep desire to go back and stop doing something by going back into your memory and sorting everything out and healing, going through a process of healing, then you will allow yourself to be hypnotized. But sometimes people aren't ready. They're afraid. They don't know what's going to happen to them. So I always have a nice talk with someone before we go into a session, and to make sure that it's the right thing for them. You know, sometimes it is not. Sometimes they just need to talk for a while before they feel safe enough. It is a position of vulnerability. You need to trust the person that you're, you know, working with. You need to trust your hypnotherapist. And so the hypnotherapist needs to take some time to build that trust.
People who are more open to being hypnotized than others?
There are some that like, you know, please hypnotize me because they just want to escape. But the fact is, most people do remember the session. They remember what was said, what they said, and what they did. It isn't a matter of like missing time or anything like that. It's just gaining access to a part of your brain that you don't normally have access to when you're living in your rational mind all the time.
In your sessions, do you normally record them for the client?
I record the part where I take them, what we call the induction, the part where I take them to the state of hypnosis or the state of trance, okay? After that, I turn the recorder off because I don't want them to have any kind of self-consciousness or any kind of worry about having to hear what they went through when they relived the situation and when they released their emotions. I think it's very important to give them the freedom to do that without it being recorded. And then when we go into the healing portion where we might go back and do what's called a soul retrieval, then we would turn the tape recorder back on. Well, you know, the recording device, we no longer have tape recorders, do we? But you know what I mean. And they would then hear the part about when they bravely went in and picked up, when their heart was broken, picked up all the pieces and dusted them off and just felt them in their hands and put them right there in their back and in the heart chakra to allow that heart to heal. Because that's really something I want everybody to understand. No matter how many times or how many times your heart has been broken, it is always possible to heal. You just have to put in the effort in order to do it. It doesn't happen magically, but you have to face the situation and process it. And hypnotherapy accelerates this process magnificently.
Tell us a little bit more about soul retrieval. What's that like?
Well, it's usually part of a hypnotherapy session, although with someone who's already had a hypnotherapy session and they're familiar with the concept, we can just go right there rather quickly. And it has to do with the chakra system, actually. We talk about, you know, the chakras in the body, and each of them represents a certain attribute that most of us wouldn't want to be without. We wouldn't want to be without our hearts. We wouldn't want to be without our power center. We wouldn't want to be without our sense of rootedness. And so, you know, if someone has, you know, betrayed you, or someone said, you just shut up and don't talk anymore, and you lose your voice, people tell you what you say isn't important. You don't feel as though what you say matters. You go back to that moment in time and stand in that place wherever that occurred and look around and see if you can't find your voice there somewhere. Look for it. Is it under the table? Is it on a chair? Is it under a jacket that's laying on the floor? Look around, find it. Now you have it. And the soul retrieval allows the person to reclaim that part of them that they just shut down when that traumatic incident occurred.
What about self-esteem?
Well, self-esteem is putting all of these things together. And certainly with hypnotherapy, we're working with people who want to build their self-esteem. And, you know, that's about taking all of those erroneous messages where you don't matter, what you say isn't important, and nobody cares about you, and turning them around into, I am important, I do matter, and I'm worth caring about. So that's self-esteem. And it isn't about ego or, you know, the, you know, narcissism or anything. It's about having a healthy sense of self and being able to have the integrity of a person, having their wholeness.
Is there a forgiveness factor involved in this?
There can be. There probably will be before the person can fully resolve the situation, but that takes time. I don't think a person should be asked to forgive on the first round, okay? They have to understand before they can forgive. They have to understand that maybe an abusive parent had been abused by their parent and they had it rough, or they had difficulty in their lives and they didn't know what to do with the child. And so the child has to understand that, and then they can forgive. And it's also useful to say that forgiveness doesn't mean that you're going to ever allow somebody to do that to you again. It's just saying that you let go of your involvement with it, and you're freeing yourself from being enmeshed in this negative emotion.
And that would incorporate self-forgiveness also.
Oh, absolutely. Big deal. Shame release, because so many people who've been abused in various ways are ashamed. You can be ashamed from everything to like the act itself to just being ashamed that you allowed somebody to betray you. And so it's about letting go of that shame too, and not being ashamed, forgiving yourself, looking at the little child inside of you who's in a panic. You know, we get frozen at ages that bad things happen to us. And that little child is in a panic. And so we have to come in as our adult selves and take that inner child and promise to love them and hold them. And at the end of our sessions, we have something like a teddy bear or something cuddly for people to hold and to use as their inner child, and to give them that self-love, you know, love of self.
Talking about self-imposed blockages, let's say, for example, someone has had difficulty in mathematics in school, and so somehow or another they put this concept together in their mind that they're not capable of doing math or learning math. Is that something that can be addressed with this?
It can be addressed with this, but it's also, you know, sometimes it is realistic that somebody isn't so good at it. But I think then the thing that I would address with them is that's okay. Maybe you're not good at math, but maybe you're great with words, or you're great with music or art or something else besides math. But the possibility of opening up to the idea of being able to learn enough math that you can get along in life, I think you certainly, you know, can remove blocks of that nature too. Yes.
Now, you said that astrology was the first tool that came into your life and you really fell in love with it. Talk a little bit about your background with astrology.
Well, I studied for many, many years. I got what's called a level 4 certification from the National Council for Geocosmic Research. And that's considered like, you know, the gold standard for the academic achievement. And I also had the privilege of studying with a lot of wonderful teachers. Robert Hand is and was one of my teachers. And my first teacher, Joanna Shannon, was the education director. So I really, you know, got right at the knee of the people who knew what there was to know about astrology. So I really feel very grateful for it. And I always tell people that I did more work in order to achieve that than I did for my first master's degree in public administration. I swear to you. I mean, it was really a lot of work. It was a labor of love, but it was a lot of work. There's so much to it. It's so very complex. And that's why it's very difficult for people to just pick it up off the street and start to be an astrologer. You really do need to have a teacher. And, you know, have somebody to mentor you through the process of learning astrology and, you know, telling you when it's okay. Yeah, you just see it. It's a symbolic language. And then all of a sudden you just see it and you can read it. So it's very interesting. But there are components that go to it that, you know, the sun is here, the moon is there. They're in a square. They're in an opposition. And what does that mean? So something that I've always prided myself on is my ability to explain things in simple enough terms so that somebody who isn't maybe familiar with all this lingo can understand it to a greater degree and bring it into their lives for their own use.
And do you do charts on world events in addition to personal charts?
I do, and I have done, yes, yes. One of my proudest moments was I was on one of my favorite intellectual geopolitical shows, the John Bachelor Show, and we did astrology for dictators. And this was back in 2011, and we were talking about all the different dictators in the world and how likely they were to succeed at what they were doing and would they still be around. And it was very interesting to do. And yes, we do for events as well. It's really difficult to sit and say exactly what's going to happen. You can predict certain things, but you can't predict everything. And I think that's really important for people to know, especially if they were to come in and have an astrology reading. The astrologer cannot read your mind or anything like that, and you still have a lot of choice. At best, an astrologer is a weather forecaster. We tell you, bring an umbrella. It's going to rain.
My guest this evening, Judy Vitale. She's the author of Live in Spirit, Love Your Life. Judy, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
Well, my book is available, of course, on the ubiquitous Amazon.com. It's also available, from me directly, but usually I sell it through there. And you can find out more about me. You can get weekly astrology weather reports, astrology forecasts at www.readthestars.com. And I also have a podcast with my good friend Jasa Johnson, who is a shamanic healer. We take deep dives into topics such as mother energy, father energy, integrating mother and father energy. And our next show is going to be about mentorship. And we'll be recording that one tomorrow. And you can find us on Facebook, Deep Dives Podcast. And you can find me personally at Judy, JudiVitale, on Facebook. And also at Judy, JUDI, at readthestars.com. I even do video readings where if you give me your birth information, I'll do a 5 to 7 minute reading for you and make a video that only you and I can see. And then I put it up on YouTube and you can look at it and get an idea of what's going on. If you just want to get a taste of astrology and see if you can get help with a quick question, or if you want to see what it's like to get a taste and go in a little bit deeper with it.
And we'll be back with more of Judy Vitale after these words from the Olden Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Judy Vitale. She's the author of Live in Spirit and Love Your Life. So, Judy, before the break, we're talking a little bit about astrology. Do you have any special take on this ancient science?
Yes, that it is exactly that. That it's gone back for as far as people can remember. And it's something that I believe everybody should look up in the sky and just really, we say, oh, look at the moon. But I mean, really look at that and look at all of what's up there. I remember one time I was invited to speak at the annual, what do the astrologers think about what's going to happen next? And it happened to be the fall of 2012, right before we were going to have Armageddon for the 50th time in history, at least. And I had just been up to Maine, and I had been out on a kayak where I could actually see all these planets and stars and everything that I've been talking about for the last 30 years. And, you know, you can see them all there because there are no lights around, and you're sitting in on the sea and looking out, and you could see the band of the Milky Way galaxy, and you could see how the stars in the constellations came out. And the kayak guide said to me, okay, well, there's Sagittarius and there's Libra. Where's Scorpio? I said, well, Scorpio has dimmer stars, so it'll come out last when it gets really dark. And sure enough, the scorpion just appeared right where it was supposed to. It was just amazing. Mm-hmm. So to think about that, that if there is a force somewhere behind there, or a source behind there, that has done all of these magnificent things and put all of this up in the sky, we're going to be all right. And that's what I told that group of people who were all, you know, oh, well, Pluto's going to do this, and oh my God, that's going to happen. It's like, it's done it before, and it's going to do it again. You know, the planets are, they invite us to pay attention to them so that we can learn the lessons. And even in, as far as one's own chart is concerned, okay, I'm a Cancerian, my birthday is next week, and so that means that I'm moody. Well, I don't get away with that. You know, if you're my client, I'm going to say, okay, so you're moody. Well, that means that you have to be aware of that. It's about bringing consciousness to your behavior. And by studying your astrology and understanding all the different components, that all the things that make up your personality, because that's what makes us unique. When you're an astrologer, you see why everybody's unique, because there's so many different combinations and permutations. And even with all the sophisticated reports that are out there, you still need a human being in order to synthesize all the contradictions, because we are all a bunch of contradictions. Everything is, you know, and everybody is so, so different. So I just invite people to consider that fact, that there is a source that has created all of this, and it has made you a unique individual for a unique purpose here on the planet in the time that you are on the planet.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, before the break, you were talking about back in 2011, I think you did some prognostication on dictators around the world. And topically enough, we're talking about the last week or so about the leader of North Korea. What can you tell us about him?
I don't know too much about him. They're very hard to find even, you know, birth dates on them. And to be honest, I have not studied much about him. It's really hard to tell what's going on now. The eclipse that is happening in August, I think, is going to bring a lot of things to a head. And, you know, we'll find out where we stand in the world at that point. I actually have not studied him. The one that sticks in my mind, of the ones I did study, we talked about Ahmadinejad, who was still in power, and we talked about Gaddafi. And then we talked about Bashar Assad, and I said, I don't think anything's going to happen with him. I think he's going to be there for a while longer. And sure enough, he is, you know, from Syria, the guy in Syria.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's Virgo. Now, he's got Saturn squaring his sun and, you know, a couple of other things in his chart. So I think that by the end of this year, we'll find out whether or not he will ultimately prevail. But so far, he's made it through Saturn in Sagittarius squaring his sun in Virgo. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things with impunity. And unfortunately, he has the support of certain nations around him. But hopefully, goodness will prevail, and there'll be a change for the better, hopefully.
We just have to hope for that, and to, you know, just to accept that there's only so much. I hate to see individuals get all distraught about all these things, because although we can pray, we have to also accept that, you know, things happen. I mean, I was in New York City for 9/11, and I saw what it was like to be in a war zone. That's what it was. And it was awful. And it happens, but it's part of the human condition. And that's why it's even more important to have that connection, to know that that connection to the divine is always there. So that even if the world does vaporize tomorrow morning, when you wake up and it isn't here, guess what? You'll still be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, those of us who were here for 9/11 also know the beautiful humanity that occurred in the aftermath of that horrible, horrible tragedy. So there's good in every bad, I believe.
and bad and some good. So
bad and some good.
Contrast. It's the contrast that makes things happen. And, you know, change is the thing that holds the world together.
Absolutely.
If atoms, the particles around the atoms, didn't move, they would never coalesce to form matter. So think of it that way. Everything has to move and change all the time. And ask a Capricorn, because they just had Pluto in their sign.
and in the words of John Lennon, it doesn't matter much to me.
That's right.
Now let's talk about your book, Live in Spirit, Love Your Life. You refer to the adage that we are spirits living in this material world. What's your definition of spirit?
Well, spirit is that part of us that is eternal, that is a part of the source. You know, we really are all just a spinning off of the source, whether you want to call it the divine or God or Yahweh or Allah, whatever you want to call it. There is, you know, I believe that there's something greater than ourselves. And we all have some part of that within us, and that's what I would call spirit. But living in spirit, the way that I mean it with the book title, is that when you live in consciousness of your spirit and also in harmony with it, then you will love your life.
How do we do that?
Well, first thing that we do is to bring our consciousness to our spirit, to treat our spirit as a priority in our lives. I encourage everyone I work with to wake up first thing in the morning and ask themselves two questions, which I borrowed from a song that we use at chanting. And it's, how can I honor you? How can I serve you? How can I honor the divine inside myself? And how can I honor the divine source? And how can I serve the divine in myself? And how can I serve the divine source? And by doing that, I'm going to serve others, hopefully. But it's important that we put that as a priority. That only takes about 15 seconds to do in the morning, if you really think about it. But most people just, you know, turn on the radio or the TV or whatever and start watching some kind of other people's thoughts, as I call them. And so, you know, it's important to take that time in the morning and just really get in touch with ourselves. And then even when we get distraught, when we have 17 things to do and only time enough for 15, ask that question, how can I honor you? How can I serve you? And wait for that instinct to come and get that conversation going with your highest self, the highest part of yourself, the ultra self.
Well, let's talk about the ultra self. How do you define the ultra self?
The ultra self is that part of you that has been here from the beginning, and it's different from your personality, or if you want to call it your ego. And it's the transcendent part of yourself, the part of like when you're, you know, just imagine yourself going out into the ocean, walking into the ocean, allowing yourself to go out into the deeper and deeper water. And at some point you feel safe and you kind of let your feet come off the bottom and you float and you just listen, excuse me, you just hear nothing. And you realize that you're a consciousness and that your body is there, but that you are not your body and your body is not you, that there's more to you than your body and more to your personality. There's a very special, unique being, and that's your ultra self. And it's always talking to you. It's that instinct that says, well, no, you have to make a left turn. You go, oh, no, I'm sure I have to make a right turn. And you make the right turn and you go, oh, I was supposed to make the left. Why didn't I listen to my gut instinct? Because oftentimes the ultra self speaks to us through our gut instinct.
So the ultra self is connected, would you say, with the intuition?
I would say that intuition is one way of describing the voice of the ultra self, yes.
Okay. And how, you know, you mentioned about getting up and asking these questions about service. What else would you do if someone wanted to have a daily practice? What else could they do in conjunction with those questions? For example, I meditate every morning.
Well, that's awesome. That's the best thing you can do every morning is to sit and just make that time to let your thoughts go somewhere else and just allow yourself to commune with the very highest part of yourself. Sometimes it doesn't come in words. Oftentimes the answers don't come in words. People go, but I don't hear the answers. Sometimes it's just a feeling. Sometimes it's just sort of a download of sorts, but you connect with yourself by doing that. If you don't want to meditate and you like to pray, you can pray, and that's just as effective because you're doing the same kinds of things. You're going into a state where you're in communion with the holy part of yourself.
And what about pranayama, breathing exercises?
Breathing exercises are a device to help to bring you into that state. So if you have difficulty meditating, try some breath work. One that I really love is was shared with me by my coach, Michael Malone. It is to take an inhale, hold inhale for four counts, hold it for four counts, and exhale on eight counts. If you do that four times, you're going to bring yourself back to that state of mind that is completely receptive to that higher part of yourself.
Achieving the Ultra Self. My guest this evening, Judy Vitale. She's the author of Live in Spirit, Love Your Life. And we'll be back with more of Judy after these words from the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Aloha, my name is Jennifer O'Neill, and I'd like to invite you to come join me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time for my show, Spirit Chat. Spirit Chat focuses on simplifying the process of using the spiritual tools and gifts you were born with in a way that fits into your everyday life. I also teach different techniques that will help you learn how to navigate the spirit realm and empower you on your own spiritual journey. So join me this Wednesday as I guide you through the spirit world.
This is Mario Andretti. You know me as a race car driver, but I'm also a Meals on Wheels volunteer. I've raced against the sport's biggest personalities, but I've never met more vibrant, amazing people than the seniors served by Meals on Wheels. As a volunteer, you deliver a hot, nutritious meal and a friendly hello to someone just like your mother, grandfather, or next-door neighbor. These seniors are inspiring people with incredible stories to share, and they love to see you. The smiles you get back are priceless. Delivering with Meals on Wheels is easy, and you don't have to drive like me for it to be quick. You can volunteer your lunch break once a week or just once a month. With 1 in 6 seniors facing hunger and many more living in isolation, your lunch break can make a real difference. So, America, let's do lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org.
This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Judy Vitale. She's the author of Live in Spirit, Love Your Life. So, Judy, your methodology involves helping clients identify aspects in their life, including passion, purpose, and alignment. Please explain how this works.
Well, passion is the things that you really love to do. We, a lot of us, I'm very lucky, and you're very lucky. We get to do the things that we love to do. I didn't always. When I was in IT, I did it by default because I just had this certain talent that I didn't really know that was going to be very special before they had computers. But I had that, and then I had the gift of communication. And so I used that in my work, and I liked the communication part, but there was something missing. So identifying one's passion is about asking some serious questions. What really makes me feel like getting up in the morning? If I could have the day to myself and do whatever I want to do, what would I? How would I spend it? How would I take time for myself? How would I spend that time? How would I give myself the excitement that it takes to be enthusiastic about my life? So it's about discovering one's passions by asking one in oneself a lot of questions. So I have a little workbook section in Live in Spirit, Love Your Life that allows people to answer these questions. And certainly in a coaching session, we would probe those questions deeper and deeper until we got a pretty good list of the things that made them feel passionate. And then purposefulness is so important. Everybody probably has heard about the work of Viktor Frankl, and you know, when he wrote about his time in a concentration camp and how he survived by believing that he had a purpose. And that's very true, especially somebody who suffers from depression. They often don't feel that they have a purpose. So what makes you feel purposeful? Do you feel purposeful when you're, you know, working in your garden? Or do you feel more purposeful when you're around children? Or maybe you like to take care of older people. Give yourself a chance to like really ask yourself, what makes me feel like I'm doing something good for the world? So there's an inner thing, like your passion. And then like, where am I getting the reward of knowing that I'm making that contribution in the outside world? And so then aligning is taking what you do in the course of your day, your week, your month, your year, and aligning those actions with the passion and purpose, so that you're doing those things. So many of us go, oh, I wish I had more time to dot, dot, dot. Well, take some time and do dot, dot, dot. Doesn't mean you have to make it your profession. If you like to, I don't know, somebody might like to make prayer malas or something like that. Well, you know, do it once a week or work on one for yourself and find the prettiest stones you can find and design it. But make time for it. Make appointments with yourself. Sit and do the things that make you feel passionate and purposeful. And then also, you know, prepare your body and your mind and your soul so that you can live to life to your fullest, so that you're not being held back by having to take pain medication or something. Some people have to take it, but I'm saying, you know, try to like put your body in condition so that you can work through some of the things, the normal aches and pains that we get when we're older. I mean, arthritis lots of times can be arrested by keeping our joints lubricated through exercise like yoga, which is one of the reasons I love being a yoga instructor.
So in essence, there are ways then that you can put your physical self in alignment with your spiritual self.
Well, you want to prepare your physical self so that it can serve your spiritual self. I mean, we have enough science fiction now to have the concept, you know, all these video games that kids have and everything, the Transformers, things of that nature, but let's say Iron Man. I think that one would be the one that's most familiar to people, where there's a man inside a suit. Well, that's sort of like our spirit inside our bodies. You know, our spirit is living inside our bodies. So you want to take care of the body the way that you get inside your car to go places. You better take care of that car, right? So you better take care of your body. The body is also, unfortunately, a source of pleasure. So lots of times we don't want to do a pose or an exercise that feels painful, but sometimes by doing that, we're doing the body good. So we have to allow the soul to direct what the body does rather than the reverse.
Now, I think everyone could probably identify what their passion is, what they're passionate about, the things that really make them thrive. But what about people who say, I really don't know what my purpose is?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. And I think there are a lot of people who don't know what their passion is, too. So I can help a little bit with the purpose. If they can't come up with it themselves, we can look at the astrology chart, and that often will give us some clues. So there are different placements in the normal astrology chart, and then I'm one of not a whole lot of astrologers in the world who practices what's called Uranian astrology, then it's sort of like looking at the microcode underneath an interface or a software, you know, like the machine code, the little bits and bytes and all the various combinations of the planetary factors and things. And it really gives some very stark observations about a person. And when I do this work with people, they resonate with it. And it's very powerful in terms of helping them to identify their path in life and their, why they're here, why they came here.
Now, neuroscience is making new discoveries every day about this complex network of cells we call our brain. Where does the brain fit in with your program?
All over the place. you know, certainly, you know, I already discussed it at length about hypnotherapy. And it's also in meditation. We change the way that our brain operates by bringing it into certain states of wave production. So when we breathe in a certain way and do pranayama, when we do yoga, when we are happy, when we're experiencing something pleasurable, when we're cuddling closely with somebody that we're in a relationship with, all of these wonderful things, our brain responds by sending out, you know, nice gentle waves. When we're in a state of stress, the brain kind of goes on overload. So, you know, the brainwave pattern becomes very close together and, you know, very high and very low. And so, of course, it can't work at its optimum. So lots of times when people are forgetful and they begin to lose their memory about, you know, even especially short term, it seems to go first because we just store so many things in our heads. By slowing down, memories come. I always say that to people. I say, it'll come to you. Just relax. Oh my God, no, I'm going to. No. Just take a deep breath. Put your hand on your third eye, you know, and just allow yourself. And it's so much about life is about allowing rather than doing. And that's what the ultra self is about, is allowing things to happen as opposed to our ego trying to show how good we are at something. Even in yoga, you know, you're trying to do something like a balance with your hands where you're standing on your hands like in a crow pose or a pendulum pose or something of that nature. If you just allow it to happen, you see how the body is designed to do it. But when you use your rational mind and you're going to put your hand here and the other hand there and you're going to do this, it doesn't work so well. Is when you say, I'm going to allow this to happen, that things open up. And the same thing goes with life. I'm going to allow myself to get viable work in the thing that I love to do.
Absolutely. You know, you talk about trying to remember something. It seems like when I have something that I'm trying to remember, like you say, if you struggle with it, it doesn't happen. But when you relax and just let it go, planting the intention that the memory will come back, for me, within a few minutes, I get the memory back and I know exactly what the information is that I was seeking. So it's true about allowing that memory to resurface and get through the panic of not knowing when you're trying to access the information.
The same thing goes for writing. I do a lot of writing, and I talk to people about writing. I'm in school, and I talk to the other students about writing term papers and things of that nature. And it's about allowing things to be written through us and not trying to do the writing. So it's about, you know, my professor has written a book about transcending the ego, you know, and that means letting go of that little part of us. It's like, I'm going to try so hard, and just allowing ourselves to transcend and become our ultra selves. You know, and allowing our ultra selves to come through us. And then we also have a much easier time doing things.
How do we balance the brain and that other mysterious, wonderful organ, the heart?
By paying attention to both of them. And so many times we forget about the heart. And oftentimes, and especially, you know, if I'm teaching meditation or yoga or I'm just talking to someone and I'll say, just how do you feel today? Well, I'm okay. No. What feelings do you have? Are you feeling joyful? Are you thinking about something sad? Are you worried? What are your feelings today? And that's so important to know what our feelings are, because if we ignore them, guess what happens? They drive us. It's just like the unconscious mind that, you know, drives the addict to hurt themselves because they're used to being hurt from a trauma, okay? Or somebody who's been sexually abused goes out to be sexually promiscuous because they're just used to that feeling. Similarly, you know, we want to make sure that we are, you know, working with ourselves and just allowing the right things to happen rather than the things that we don't want. We want our feelings to be able to be acknowledged and processed rather than being let to just lie there and drive us, because they'll drive us through our unconscious mind and our subconscious mind. They'll come through whether we want them to or not. So being aware of them allows us to connect our mind and our heart and to love ourselves.
And that is the key to all of this. Our guest tonight, Judy Vitale, her book, Live in Spirit, Love Your Life. Judy, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about the work that you do.
Well, you can buy the book on Amazon.com. And if you would like a link to that, you can go to my website, which is www.readthestars.com. And that's where you can find out about all the things I do: astrology, transpersonal coaching, clinical hypnotherapy. I'm soon to finish training in EMDR, which is a whole other thing, but it's another way of working with people with trauma, and yoga teaching, public speaking, parties and seminars. And Jossa Johnson and I are going to be going out with our Deep Dives podcast and actually bringing that to life and bringing it to different people's towns. So if you're interested in having us come and hold workshops on some of the topics we talk about, from life passages on to finding our inner mother, finding our inner father, parenting oneself, all of those great things that we need to do in order to bring ourselves into a state of harmony and happiness, please contact me, Judy, J-U-D-I, at readthestars.com.
Judy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This information is wonderful, and I think so many people need to listen to what you have to say.
Well, thank you, Victor, and I thank you for doing this work because, you know, you're bringing light to the world, and I salute you and I thank you.
And thank you. And thank you all for joining us tonight on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful weekend.